Good morning.
Good morning. Who was that? Therese?
Steve.
Steve, you want to say the pledge?
Of course I do. Please stand, please rise, put your hand over your heart, join after me. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America.
And to the republic for which it stands.
One nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, may I have a roll call?
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Zara?
Yes.
Director Brandman? Director Ta? Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Yo?
Present.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau? Director Sarmiento?
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Okay. Do we have any items too late to be agendized?
No.
I can't hear you.
There are none.
Okay. Do we have any visitor participation?
Not that we can see.
Okay. Moving on to the consent calendar. Do we have a motion?
I move the items.
Do we have a second? I'll second.
Roll call, Director Green?
Yes.
Director Wynn?
Yes.
Director Zara?
Sorry, yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
And Director Yo?
Yes.
That carries 5-0.
Okay, moving on to the annual Santa Ana River Water Master Report.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Water Master Roy Herndon will be presenting to the committee this morning. Roy.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, members of the board. I am here to present the annual findings of the Santa Ana River Water Master. We just completed our annual estimate of base flows and storm flows on the river as required by the 1969 judgment that settled decades of water rights litigation on the Santa Ana River. And the first map that you see, or figure that you see here, is a map of the Santa Ana River watershed. And this is the largest watershed in coastal Southern California. The Santa Ana River, shown in blue here, starts at its headwaters in the San Bernardino Mountains and flows about 100 miles to the coast through the Inland Empire and Orange County. And you see the figure here shows the area to the lower right, which is the San Jacinto River watershed, that technically is within the Santa Ana River watershed, but because the only natural way that water from the San Jacinto River watershed would flow into the Santa Ana River is when Lake Elsinore overflows. And because that happens so extremely rarely, during the litigation back in the 1950s and 60s, it was determined that it was unnecessary to include the San Jacinto River watershed area and the water users in that area in the litigation. So the Santa Ana River Water Master essentially considers the area outside the San Jacinto River watershed to be the area that is within this judgment, the 1969 judgment. So just wanted to clarify that. Next slide, please. Can we go back one slide? Thanks. So this slide, also showing the watershed, shows the two locations along the Santa Ana River that the Water Master takes data from the USGS, the stream gauge data from the U.S. Geological Survey, and estimates base flows and storm flows at these two locations, the Riverside Narrows in Riverside and then just below Prado Dam. And that is one of the key provisions of the 1969 judgment, that minimum base flows are maintained at these locations. Next slide, please. So the findings of the Water Master are shown here for the year, and we're comparing the most recent year that we completed, 2018-2019, in the right column. And I'll mention that the water year that the Water Master uses is the same as the federal water year, which ends September 30th. At OCWD, we typically use our water year is the same as our fiscal year, ends June 30th. So the a three-month difference there between the two water years. But we compare, just to have a benchmark, we compare 2018-19 results versus the prior year, 2017-2018, to the column just to the left. So looking at the precipitation for 2018-19, we had a wet year. Not really wet, but definitely above average. The average in San Bernardino over many, many years of record is around 18 inches. So we had a slightly above average year, which we'll take. We're happy to get it. Look at the prior year in 2017-18, only about 7 inches. So much different year before that. Looking at the outflow, we can see the results of the rain. We had almost 252,000 roughly acre feet of water flowing out of Prado. And what's really amazing, and we're very happy to see this, it was kind of unexpected, is that we had almost 98,000 acre feet of base flow. We haven't seen that much base flow since 2011. And that's about a 50% increase, almost 33,000 acre feet more base flow than the prior year. We've been hovering around 65,000 to 70,000 acre feet of base flow for 4 or 5 years now. And then to see almost 98,000 was kind of an eye opener for us. I'll get into some of the reasons for that later. Looking at the TDS, it's a flow-weighted total dissolved solids, and given that we had so much storm flow, that has a lower salt content than the base flow. So the flow-weighted average was at 395 parts per million versus a dry year, you can see, was 625 parts per million. That's more typical of what the base flow would look like without much storm flow to dilute it. The adjusted base flow, moving down the table, is essentially a provision of the Water Master judgment, or I should say the 1969 judgment, where the upstream agencies are given basically a credit or an additional amount of base flow that they get credit for when the TDS is less than 600. And so there's a proportionate increase in the credited base flow. So that's why the adjusted base flow goes up to 122,900 from the actual base flow is 97,993. And then the last row at the very bottom, called the cumulative credit, that number just keeps growing year after year after year. And the reason for that is the minimum base flow that the upstream agencies are obligated to provide is 42,000 acre feet. And any time the base flow is higher than that, and it's actually the adjusted base flow is the number we use, the difference goes as a credit, and that credit continues to accumulate for year after year after year, and there's no way of really retiring that credit, so it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So the next slide shows
that credit kind of reminds me of the federal debt.
Federal debt in the opposite direction. Yes. Oh, that's good. So the next graph is a long-term historical graph showing the blue area, the shaded blue on the lower part is the base flow over decades since 1934 all the way through to present. And you can see it kind of was very low in the 1950s and early 1960s. Base flow was very, very low. And then the judgment was signed in 1969. And then in the 70s and 80s, there was tremendous development in the Inland Empire. A lot of people moved in. A lot of people used a lot of water, and that water was run through wastewater treatment plants and came down to OCWD in the form of base flow. Then we saw a very pretty dramatic decline in the 2000s, where we kind of reached a peak of around 150,000 acre feet of base flow, and then we saw a very steep decline down to, as I was mentioning, 65 to 70,000 acre feet of base flow for several years. And that's kind of where we've been until this last year we had that big increase up to 98,000. The big white bars above the blue are the storm flow. So you can see we've had some very big storm years over time. 1969 was a big year, 1983, and so on. And so the white bars are the storm flow, and the blues are the base flow. So that's the long-term history. I want to mention the 34,000 acre foot number is the absolute minimum base flow. It doesn't matter whether the upstream agencies have 3 million acre feet of credit. No matter what the credit is, they need to provide at least 34,000 acre feet of water at Prado Dam to OCWD. And we've been well above that in the 60s to 70s, 1,000 acre feet. So we haven't come close to that. Next slide, please. This is another historical graph. This one just goes back to 1970, and what this plots is the historical base flow in blue. That's the blue line with the blue dots is the historical base flow since 1970 against wastewater discharges in the upstream part of the watershed. And so you can see these two parameters track each other pretty closely. Base flow is largely made up of treated wastewater discharge from the river, and we can see this chart really shows that matches very nicely. This very last year, you can see the base flow jumped up quite a bit, and the wastewater discharge has also jumped up, but not nearly as much. And so we can see that the wastewater discharge increased about 13,000 acre feet, while the base flow, as I mentioned, increased almost 33,000 acre feet. So we can't use the wastewater as the full explanation for the reason why we had so much extra base flow. Next slide, please. So just kind of the bullets here showing the factors that we think are the main reasons for the increase of base flow this last year. As I mentioned, wastewater certainly, that covers a third of it. You know, that's 13,000. The other numbers, we don't have a way of specifically measuring these things, but we believe because we had a wetter than average year and more water coming down the river, the plants in the large Prado basin area used less water, so they were not taking up as much water that we call evapotranspiration. And it's actually a substantial amount of water that the amount of vegetation and riparian vegetation use in that area. They take up a lot of water. And so we think there was much less of that this last year due to the wetter conditions. And also, it's kind of everything plays upon itself. Less evapotranspiration, higher groundwater levels, more flow. That means less water from the river infiltrates into the groundwater basins in the upper watershed. So the river is losing less water into the upper basins because the groundwater levels are higher, and that means more flow stays in the river and comes down to Prado. So it's accumulation of all three of these that we think are the main factors. We'll see what happens this coming year, the year we're in right now. We'll see if we... I would expect it to drop back down, maybe not down to 65,000, but we'll see. So that is all I had to present. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions? Any comments? I'm not seeing any. Okay, thank you, Roy.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we move on to the update on GWRS final expansion construction?
Yes. So this is Sandy Scott Roberts, and I am. So we've been in construction for contract one of the GWRS final expansion project for just over 6 months now. So this is probably a good time to give a little update as to what's been happening on our site here in Fountain Valley as well as in Huntington Beach. So to begin, this is an overview slide of all the components of the final expansion. So we've got the OCWD components, contract one. That's the current contract that we have with Shimmick. It's just over 3 years contract duration, and that's to expand our advanced water treatment facility here at Fountain Valley, as well as build the conveyance facilities at Plant 2 in Huntington Beach at OCSD Plant Number 2. That is currently awarded to Shimmick Construction Company, and so that's the one I'm kind of going to go over today. But just to reiterate, the other contracts that are still coming or either managed by OCSD, and those are Contract 2, which is the pipeline rehab, the current rehabilitation of the pipeline between OCSD Plant Number 2 and Plant Number 1, that will convey the secondary effluent from Plant Number 2 to GWRS, that is currently out to bid. So our bid opening date for that contract is June 9th. So we will be bringing that back to the board when we receive the bids and are ready for a recommendation for award for that contract. The two Orange County Sanitation District projects, managed projects, that also contribute to the final expansion are the Headworks Modification Project and the Plant Water Pump Station Project. They're both currently in construction at OCSD Plant Number 2. So our activities that we've been, well, if you've been here in Fountain Valley, that you've been seeing are the Microfiltration West expansion. That's the yellow outlined red box that you see on your screen. That is adding the 1.5 new trains that are required for the microfiltration facility in order to get the additional treatment capacity as part of the final expansion project. So what's occurred there is Shimmick has actually begun general site clearing. They've installed their shoring because they're going to have to dig a very deep pit, and they've actually already completed that, to build the new Microfiltration West basement. They also had to install dewatering wells and excavate all the dirt where the basement's going to be. Also, some construction activities that have occurred here is in the lower right-hand corner of your screen. There's a rectangular yellow box with a red outline. That is going to occur a little later. There's not much happening there right now. However, that is where the new pipeline is going from Plant Number 2 is going to connect to the GWRS screenings, which is the screenings just ahead of the microfiltration. So there have just been dewatering wells installed there, so I don't have any pictures of that area. But I will show some pictures of the Microfiltration West work that has occurred to date. Next. So here's a picture. We actually have a camera set up, and I'm going to show a time-lapse video right after in a few slides. But here you can see it's looking at our expanded MF East building on the right, and then you can see here the construction work beginning on the left for the MF West. Those beams that you see, those are the shoring beams that were installed along the perimeter of the new MF West expansion building to dig out the dirt. So here we go, we're starting to begin construction. The beams have all been pushed into the ground for the shoring. You can see them kind of on your left-hand side there. And the white rig is our dewatering wells starting to be drilled around the perimeter of the excavation area. Here are the trucks lined up on our site, taking the dirt from the MF West excavation area to the Brea Olinda landfill. And then here's a picture of the digging right up against our building, starting with the large excavator. And there you can see the excavator dumping the dirt into the haul trucks that are going to the landfill. And that happened very quickly, but realistically, it happened over a few months. You can see that the hole is definitely getting bigger, and dirt is being removed. So we can now show the time-lapse video of just those still shots that I just went through. We have a time-lapse video that kind of shows it in progression. And this first, there we go. So there you can see the site starting to be cleared, the asphalt removed, the blue drill rig is pushing in the shoring beams. You can see the shoring beams start to, and sorry, the camera does change viewpoints there. There we go. And then the white drill rig is putting in the dewatering wells. Then there's a period where we had to wait in order for the groundwater levels to be lower than the bottom, the excavation area. And also we had a few rain days, so you can see those. While we're waiting for the dewatering wells to reach the groundwater to reach the desired elevation so we can continue excavation, and as well waiting for the area to dry up. And so now you can see the excavator beginning to start excavating and the trucks hauling off the dirt. There you can.
Chair?
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Please.
How much dirt do you have left to haul?
We hauled in this area right here. We're complete. There may be an additional 100 cubic yards or so.
Okay. How many cubic yards have you exported?
At this site, 15,000 cubic yards.
Okay. And I'm curious, you had to wait for the water table to drop. How did you, what was occurring while you were waiting for the water table to drop?
What was occurring is there was 10 dewatering or wells that were drilled around the perimeter of the excavation area, and those 10 wells were each pumping from the appropriate levels, about 100 gallons per minute each, in order to bring those groundwater levels down. We were taking the dewatering water, discharge water, we're actually recycling that. We're sending it back to the Orange County Sanitation District, and it's being recycled.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So at plant number two, so you can see up in the upper right hand, upper corner there of the screen, the facilities we're building, OCWD, is the new GWRS plant two pump station and flow EQ tanks, the large flow equalization tanks that we also have here in Fountain Valley. We're building them in Huntington Beach as well, right at the north end of the plant number two property. And the work that has occurred to date up in the north end of plant two is just site prep, so some grading. Shoring also was installed up there for excavating the dirt for the tanks and the pump station foundation. Now, I did fail to mention, though, at the MF facility, now that the dirt has been removed, the next phase over for the microfiltration is to actually start installing the piles, to start drilling down for the piles. So there's going to be about over 300 piles drilled on the microfiltration site. So that is the next construction activity out there. However, here at plant number two, due to the geology in Huntington Beach and plant number two being different than the geology in Fountain Valley. The foundation for underneath the tanks and the pump station is going to be deep soil mixing, so not piles. And so it's a drilling operation where cementitious binders are added to the soil in order to stabilize the soil underneath the tanks in the pump station. So what the construction that's occurred here right now is just getting the site ready for that deep soil mixing equipment. So here's the picture. This is kind of already with the shoring installed on the right-hand side, but I also have a time-lapse video I can show of this site so you can see that shoring get installed. But this is just showing, I'm looking north right now, right at the north corner of the Plant 2 site. And here are the trucks removing the dirt that we were required. We weren't required to dig as deep here since the tanks are only going to be partially buried, about 4 feet below grade, and not nearly as deep as the microfiltration basement. And here's another picture that shows the shoring, and what's behind the excavator and the shoring there is the Santa Ana River outlet as it goes to Huntington Beach. And then the time-lapse video for this site is, we can show that right now too. So here's the site. The site prep had already begun, and that's why you see some piles of dirt there. But the shoring had not been installed yet. And there are the big beams that were used, the big shoring beams that were installed there on the left-hand side as part of the shoring. You can see the drill rig come in there. That's pushing those beams down. We had a few rain days again. And then the driller begins again to install the rest of the shoring on the left-hand side there. Once that shoring was installed, then the dirt moving and removal work could begin. Since the depth we had to dig to on this side is not as deep, there was not any dewatering wells required at Plant 2. And there's the last part of the excavator prepping the site for the deep soil mixing equipment, which is actually scheduled to arrive today.
Madam Chair, this is Roger. I have a question.
Yes.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Sandy, the trees on the right, just over the trees on the other side, residential area.
Is what area? I'm sorry?
Residential?
Yeah, that's Brookhurst. The street right to the right of those trees is Brookhurst. And then, yes, on the other side of Brookhurst, yes, it is residential.
Yeah, so these tanks are not going to be as high as those trees, right?
That's correct.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And just to note, we did get a coastal development permit for this work, for these tanks in particular, and we had a public hearing and received our coastal development permit for this work. So let's see if we can get back to the slideshow. And that kind of concludes the overview construction. Here's just some general construction information. The original contract bid amount for contract one, that's with Schimmick Construction Company, was in the amount of $199,924,000. We've had three change orders to date. It is a credit at this point of $7.5 million, and that is due to the competitively bidding the microfiltration membranes during the bid phase of this project, and so we did receive quite a substantial savings from that. So with that, the revised contract amount right now is $192 million. Contract duration, 1,205 calendar days, with a contract end date still holding of February 19th, 2023. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I don't see any hands raised. Any other questions or comments?
Just a comment from Roger. Sandy, if you would go back to the maybe page 2 or 3 that shows the layout.
Yes. This at plant 2 or at microfiltration?
Earlier, that goes all the way to the our campus.
Okay.
So, you know, the different locations and different, one more.
This one?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm a little confused because there's like contract 1, plan 1, P2. So maybe if you could help simplify it. I don't know, maybe it's just me. But like, instead of naming those contracts, and in addition to that, maybe just put ABCD so we know where they're at, or we have to constant.
Sure. So you mean where they're at location-wise?
Yeah. So when you talk about, okay, contract 1, so I'm looking at contract 1 and, okay, I found it. It's up there. But contract 1 is also down there.
Right. And it's in both locations. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big confusion.
Well, just as an overview, there are OCWD required facilities to make the final expansion happen, and that is the expansion of our treatment facility to produce the additional water, as well as the conveyance facilities to convey that new water from plant number 2 to GWRS. So those are OCWD's facilities, required facilities to complete the final expansion project. So they were put into one contract. The pipeline rehabilitation contract was separated just due to the fact that was such specialty work. It's a slip line of an existing pipeline, and we feel we would get a more economic advantage to separately bid that out to a pipeline specialty contractor, and that's what's out to bid now. So this is why there are the two contracts, and those are for the OCWD components that are required. However, at OCSD, as many of you are familiar with, the separation of the headworks, the plant water pump station, new influent feed, that is all being managed by OCSD and happening at plant number 2. I hope that clarifies some of the different contracts. But yeah, I could definitely.
Sandy, I was just suggesting maybe we can, simplify. There's quite a few words that kind of repeat each other, and then it's just to make it simpler for end user to readily connect with, which contract or which component you're referring to. That's all. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Mike, you have your hand raised?
I do. I just wanted to add on to what Sandy in her report, just to mention that we have had the plant shut down for the last 2 weeks. And one of the main reasons we did that, there were several reasons, but one of the main reasons is Shimmick was able to change out the process control system, PCS system. That's the hardware and software system that actually runs the plant. So hardware was upgraded, software was upgraded, controllers were upgraded. A very substantial amount of work was done as a part of the contract, and was done fairly early in the contract also. So that work was done successfully. The plant's back up. We should be at full production, back at full production today. I know they began startup on Sunday. Yesterday they were ramping up. to about 45 million gallons in the afternoon. Everything seems to be working. That's always a bit of a you know, a risk when you go through a major upgrade like that, particularly with software. But everything seems to be running fine. During that same two-week period, our maintenance crews were able to get down in the lime channels and remove some lime scaling. Also, Sandy went into Sandy and Ben Smith went into the existing GWS pipeline to look at the lining, and we'll bring back a report to this committee probably next month, showing what we found with the lining. Nothing major. Everything seems fine. But there was a lot of work going on, even though the plant was shut down, and just to report out that we're back up to full production today, and everything seems to be working fine. Thank you.
Okay, I don't see any other hands raised. Okay, moving on. I'd like to put all the items on the matters for consideration on consent calendar. I'm going to assume that we should include the Water Master report and the update on the final expansion as informational items. Is that correct?
If you wish to have us present them again at the board meeting, then they would go on as informational items. If not, then we would leave them off.
Okay, I think everybody's here, so I think they've heard the reports. Okay.
Sure.
Let's just put, and then do we have any directors' announcements or reports? Don't see anything. General manager?
Nothing to report.
Okay, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.